from Mr. and Mrs. Evans. They send their greetings as always, and Judy Swanson as well sends her greetings and her love to all of you. And so do your family down in Knoxville, who are telling me that they're going to want to hitch a ride up to see all of you. What is the big deal about London? I said, you have to go and see. That's all I can tell you. You have to go and see. You have to be a part of that family to know why it's a joy and a delight to be here with you all. Well, it's interesting, as always for me, how God kind of orchestrates the messages and how they follow and complement each other, and even the hymns themselves. When we stop and we think about the service that we partake of Sabbath after Sabbath, who is the designer? Who is the one who orchestrates the things that he wants said and spoken to his people? Who is the one that really orchestrates the music that he wants sang, you know, by his people? Well, God is. And they all tie together. If I sat down and thought about how I would like for the service to go, it probably wouldn't go the way I'd want it to go. But I do say this boldly to each of you. It does go the way that God wanted it to go. And so that is a great blessing in itself. I used to be concerned about getting up and speaking, and is this the message that God wants spoken to his people? You know, how do I know? Well, one of the ways I know is by your response after the service. The other way I know is by how God moves me in delivering the message. Every message I've noticed that I give, if I give it to you, in which normally the sermons for the month start right here in London, and from London it goes on to the south. So you all receive the message first. And so if that message gets posted, it's okay. Because when I give this message in Knoxville, it is not the same message. It is not the same message. Well, how is that possible? I have my notes. Well, a lot of times I don't use my notes. They're just there. And I'm not the one who likes to get tied a lot to my notes, but I want to make for sure that I hit the high points of the message and that I don't leave those messages, those points out. So how is it that I can give a message here in London and take that same message to Knoxville or to Asheville, and it's not the same message? Well, it's by God's design. It's by God's order. When we speak to you, we ask God to guide and direct the messages. When you pray about the Sabbath services and you pray about the messages that are going to be given, you ask God to guide and direct the messages. And sometimes you're actually bold enough before God to say, Father, give me something that I need. Father, help me with this matter that I'm dealing with. And you know, I find myself to say that when I come to services, and my mind is open, my mind is clear to receive the messages that are going to be delivered, God answers that prayer. And for many of you, God answers your prayer as well. You could have a rough week, and yet you can pray and ask God for guidance and direction. And through that week, you may not necessarily get the answer that you're looking for, but God is actually guiding and directing you because he hears our prayers. He doesn't leave us abandoned. He doesn't leave us stranded. And then we arrive on the Sabbath together. And there's a sermonette. Or there's a video message. And then there's a sermon. And out of those messages, the answer comes. But in order for us to be able to receive that message, we have to keep our mind open. Keep our mind free of all the junk and clutter that runs through our minds throughout the day. I mean, so many different things hit us. You know, oh, you know what? That dishwasher is banging and clanging again. Oh, you know what? I got to catch that mouse. And you could be laying down or sitting down. You could be studying your Bible, and that mouse will get your attention again. And guess what? Now you have diverted from your Bible study and your prayer, and then you praise the Lord, help me get that mouse. He's driving me nuts. you know, and then all of a sudden, snap, thank you. And back to your prayer, back to your study. But it happens. It happens for you and for me. Why? Because God loves us. God loves us. And God wants what he wants for you and me, the things that we don't know and we don't understand. But if we keep our eyes open, our minds clear, we can tune in, we can hone in to that channel of God's Holy Spirit, to know, Father, where are you leading me? You know, last week I talked about being still, us not having the right to make the choice to turn away from God, because it's not what God wants. God wants to advance us forward on our journey. And God cannot, as we talked about last week, he cannot advance us forward until he has prepared us for the next leg of our journey. He is not going to send us out with a weapon. I saw this in a documentary about the military. You know, the reason they spend a lot of time firing off these weapons and using these weapons in their exercise is so they know how to properly use them in battle. They can't go into battle with a weapon that they have not used. They cannot go into battle with a weapon that has not been prepared by them to use. How do you operate it? How do you turn it on? How do you make for sure it's engaged? How do you make sure it's loaded? You know, you see movies all the time, and you'll see someone in the movie running from someone else, and all of a sudden this person has a weapon, and then the individual falls down, and the guy or the gal goes over and they pick the weapon up, and they already magically know how to use that weapon, and they start firing and they start shooting. Well, that's only in the movies. That's not life for you and for me. Life for you and me is being still at the moment when we don't understand the course that God has us set on. The message for you and me is to be still and know that he is God. He is guiding and directing our lives. He has prepared a plan for you and for me. And so when we're in those moments, as we talked about last week, we have to just stop. The choice is not for us to turn around and go back to Egypt. That's not what God's purpose for us is. God's purpose for us is what? Moving forward towards his kingdom, not going backwards. If you have a habit sometimes of looking back or turning back, break that mirror, break that gear. Make it impossible for you to be able to do that. You know what? Burn that bridge. You know, we always heard the expression and sayings, hey, don't burn a bridge. No, there are bridges that we not only need to burn, but blow up. Blow up to the place where we make it totally impossible to go back. Because God does not want us moving backwards. He wants us moving forward. And so, where he has you and me today on this journey is where we need to be so that he can advance us forward. And so, in order for God to advance us forward, he has to prepare us. We have to be prepared for the next leg of that journey. Because, see, the next leg of our journey is a new chapter. Is a new chapter. And we have to learn the lessons that God wants us to learn. We have to learn those lessons. And God wants to be assured that we have learned that lesson. You know, what's the definition of insanity? You know, doing the same thing over and over and over and again, thinking that you're going to get a different result? Well, God's not going to do that with you and me. We cannot advance forward until we stop doing the same things that are wrong over and over and over and over again. But you know, God will forgive me. Yes, he will. But God understands. Yes, he does. But we can't advance until we have passed the test. You know, just like in school. You cannot advance until you pass the test. One of my partners in training, was telling me last week that he wants to advance to become a lieutenant with the Tennessee Highway Patrol. He's a sergeant right now. He has done everything for the past probably 10 years that led him up to that position of a sergeant. But they can't advance him, he told me this past week. And I said, why? You'll make an excellent lieutenant. You'll make a great lieutenant. Well, they cannot advance me until I finish my degree. Because, see, now, to take on that higher level of responsibility, more training is needed. And in that training, they're requiring him to go and finish his degree. Well, guess what? You nor I can advance forward on this journey until God has prepared us for the next leg of our journey. You know, before we were baptized, we were told to consider baptism and take it seriously. We can't just jump into becoming baptized without weighing the cost. What was the cost for you and for me? What did we have to give up in order to be baptized? What do we have to do? One, we had to repent. We had to repent of our sins. And we had to decide that we were no longer going to sin. But yet each and every one of us in this room know that even after baptism, mistakes have been made. But prior to that, we had to understand what sin was. Sin being the transgression of God's laws. Our disobedience to God is the next thing that we had to give up. Rule over our own selves to allow Jesus Christ to have rule over us. Our will, our own self-will, to be stopped and dropped to accept God's will for us. And putting everything first other than God. And so, we're giving up sin. We're giving up being disobedience to God. We're giving up having rule over ourselves. We're giving up our own will. And we're giving up putting everything else before God. Because in order for us to go to the next step in the process before becoming baptism, these things had to be recognized. We had to recognize what we are doing wrong and what God has showed us, what he has shown us over time, what we have done wrong. And so through prayer and through Bible study and through our request of God, we beseech him and we say to him, I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to accept your way. So when we have been humbled in order to be able to advance to the next level. And that next level is baptism. So we had to be prepared for baptism. And so here we are on that day of baptism. And there are two questions that are asked of us as we sit in that murky water, that muddy water, that clear water, that cold water, whatever you were baptized in, there you sat. And the question was asked, have you repented of all your sins? You know, this was something that we had to do before we committed ourselves. And the answer is yes. And have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And the answer, again, was yes. And then you were dunked. Your whole body being dunked into a tank, into a river, into the body of water that you were baptized in. My question is, have we forgotten the things that we agreed to do and the things that we agreed not to do? Have we forgotten those things? Again, it's just like marriage. Marriage shows us so much of God's plan and how God works. You know, even through the marriage vows, to love, to honor, to respect, to cherish, to commit, ourselves to each other. In the heat of the moment, when things are not going the way we want them to go, do we remember what we agreed to do? The covenant that we made, man and woman, before God, before all the witnesses, before the minister. Have we forgotten that commitment? Well, you know, yeah, I said I would love you, but, you know, I've really kind of grown tired of you. You're just not, you know, you're just not that guy I thought you were going to be. I thought you were going to be, you know, like Don Juan. I thought I could dress you up, you know. Dressing you up is still like, you know, putting a suit on a pig. You still look like a pig in a nice suit. You know? So therefore, okay, I'm going to break that commitment because I'm done with you. And we have a society around us that dictates that to us every day. There is no commitment, or today's term, you know, coexisting together. You have those relationships because you don't want to make a commitment. Well, that's not what God designed for us. We took God's plan and God's purpose for a relationship to do God's will. That's what we've done. Have we forgotten our commitment at baptism to God? Have we forgotten it? Not very difficult. We repented of our sins. We agreed not to sin. But yet, we knew if we did, we know we have an advocate for us. We agreed to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. What does that mean? That means it's not my will, but thy will. And so, and we were discussing last week the fact that we don't have technically the right to make the choice to turn around and go backwards. Because at baptism, we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We accepted him, and we said that we would follow him. And Christ reminded us and told us that you are my sheep. And how I know this is because my sheep hear my voice. My sheep follow me. Are we still following Jesus Christ? Because in moving forward to that kingdom, he is the one who is leading and guiding and directing our lives. No matter what we think of ourselves in the condition that we're in right now, he knows, he understands, and he is the one that is going to continue to move us forward. And he will continue to prepare us for each leg of our journey, because it's so important, because in order for us to be where he wants us to be when Christ returns, we have to continue to be reminded of our commitment to him. He is going to continue to commit himself to us. He will not, and as he promised, he will never leave us, he will never forsake us, but yet, family, we would allow things to cause us to leave him and to forsake him. Are we still committed? This morning, family, I want to take a moment to remind us of the calling that God has given to us. And that calling is to do the will of God. The title for this message this morning is, Let Thy Will Be Done in Me. Let Thy Will Be Done in Me. Because you see, that's a part of the process in becoming baptized. We said that we would accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Master. We have accepted Jesus Christ to be the one who rules and reigns over us. This is what we agreed to. And if you have forgotten that, I want to remind us of that. We made an agreement. What is our word worth to God? His instruction to us was to make our yeses yes and our no, no. And when we answered the question sitting in that water, we said yes, that we have repented of our sins. We said yes, that we will accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So in doing so, for us to move forward to the next leg of our journey, let us be reminded of that agreement that we made. Jesus Christ reminds us that we did not choose him. John 15 and verse 16, he says, you didn't choose me. So don't think, you know, we've done something great and wonderful to be here today. No, Christ says, I chose you. You did not choose me. And I chose you that you may go forth and bear fruit that will last. And whatever you ask in my name, he says, the Father will give you. John 15 and verse 16, we see this reminder from Jesus Christ. I chose you. What a blessing. You know, I remembered as a kid standing out on the playground. You know, they're selecting the teams. You know, who's going to be on the kickball team. I think that's what it was. We called it so many things back when I was a kid coming up. But I believe it was kickball. You know, here I'm standing in line waiting to be chosen because I'm not the one choosing. So I'm waiting. There were times nobody chose me. I'm like, hey, I'm good. You know, I can kick the ball. Man, I was a klutz. You throw the ball to me, you might as well just throw the ball past me and let it keep going because I was one of the little awkward kids at a moment. But nobody would choose me. So then I switched over to basketball. Oh, I'm good at basketball. You know, nobody would choose me. But one day I had the opportunity of the flip of the coin to choose my team. And, of course, on my team were not the guys that wouldn't choose me. I chose all the other awkward guys that were sitting on the sideline with me that no one would choose. And I tell you what, we did an amazing thing. Man, it was awesome. People around were like, wow, this is unbelievable. You guys stink. But we stunk great. But you know, we didn't give up. We didn't give up. As the years went on, we kept trying. We got better. We got better. We got better. We got better. And before you know it, here you look up. Anybody that had a team and they were wanting to select you to be on a team, you were on that team. Why? Because we never gave up. We never gave up. We continued to do better. We continued to do better. What is the will of God for you and to me and for me? I want to share a story with you. I was walking in the grocery store, and this had been some years ago. You know, matter of fact, it was about 6 or 7 years ago. And my wife and I were in the grocery store. We were walking along. And my wife sees an old girlfriend of hers from college. And I remembered her. I remembered her husband. We used to have dinner together every once in a while. We walked up, saw each other. Hey, how are you doing? I haven't seen you for a long time. I mean, it was kind of a great reunion to see them and for them to see us. And so the young lady began to ask my wife, what is going on in your life? And, of course, at that time, that was when we got the news about Shell's condition. And, man, I thought we were going to break out in a revival in the grocery store. This young lady says, oh, no, you will not accept this. Do not claim this. You will pray and tell God, no, we're not claiming this. We're not accepting this. And I thought, we don't have any choice in this matter. And, oh, and I'm going to pray for you all. And I'm like, please don't do that now. You know, don't do that because I'm going to have to embarrass you and walk away. You know, but the bottom line was, oh, she was enraged over the fact that we introduced to her what was going on with Shell at that time. And says, no, you will not accept this trial. You will not claim this trial. Well, you know, and that wasn't the first time I've heard that expression. Because later on, within my own family and within my wife's family, I heard that again. As soon as that announcement went out, oh, don't accept that. Oh, we're not claiming this. Oh, we're going to pray to God. No, this is not happening. You know, you almost have it. They're like, yes, you're right, because it's not happening. But it is. It is happening. Oh, no, no, the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. No, we're not accepting this. Don't claim this, Peter. Don't claim this, Shalita. Don't accept this. The devil's a liar, they said. Well, we know that to be true because Christ told us that Satan's a liar. But you know, when it comes to certain things that are going on in our lives, we still have to remember that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior who has rule over us. And so, with those comments being said, we constantly have to be reminded that Jesus Christ, we accepted him at baptism to be Lord over us. And he will watch over us. He will protect us. He will provide for us. He will heal us. Now, do I have the right to go to God and say, you know, Father, I'm not accepting this. No, I'm not accepting this. Now, you're going to have to fix this and fix this right now, but I'm not accepting it. Do I have the right to go to God and say that? Well, you have the right to go to God and be bold. And, you know, God says come boldly before his throne. You know, if you go to God and you say that to God, okay, God understands. He knows your heart. And he also has a way of getting our attention to let us know, you know what? This is the way it's going to be. But we have to be careful going to God and challenging God on these matters. Now, God reminds us it's okay for us to be angry. It's okay for us to be angry and upset with him. But hey, watch it. Don't cross a line. Don't sin. Don't sin. No, this was not joyful news even to us when we received that news. It was not exciting news. It was very fearful. It was very discouraging. Just to think that you wouldn't imagine something else great hitting you or hitting your family to tear it apart, but yet it did. It did. But even here, family, even here, God is preparing us for the next leg of our journey. What did he tell us? 1 Peter 4, join me. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, what did he tell us? Beginning in verse 12. He says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial in which you find yourself in. This is not anything strange, as though some strange thing has happened to you. Well, to you and to me, this is a strange thing. This is not something that we have experienced before. This is not something that, oh yeah, you know, I remember I had this problem a couple of weeks ago. It wasn't too bad. We got through it. No, for us, this was a strange trial. It was a strange fiery trial. But God says, don't think it to be strange concerning you, as though some strange thing just happened to you. But he says, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of the sufferings of Jesus Christ, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. How do we become joyful in a fiery trial? How do we do this? You see, everyone else says, oh, no, Lord, we're not claiming this. We're not accepting this. This is not what God is saying to you and me. He is saying, don't think this to be something strange. Because for him to prepare you and me for the next leg of this journey, we have to go through these fiery trials. He says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God's rest is upon you. We don't want to go through certain trials, but we need these trials. We need these trials to strengthen us for the next leg of our journey. What's coming ahead of you? I don't know. What's coming at you? Anybody got a crystal ball that you've looked into tomorrow to see what's coming at you? Anybody here would like to see the crystal ball to see what's coming ahead of you. You know, that was the time I thought, yes, I want to look forward. And I'm thinking, no, I don't think so. No, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. But here's the thing, family. God says to rejoice in this. Because, see, he is working something out here for you and for me. Now, I have to be open and I have to confess to all of you. I found myself one day in the midst of this trial. Well, no, it was right before that particular trial. Our family was hit with another great trial. And I didn't think that anything could be so hard and devastating as that particular trial. And I did find myself one day talking to one of our widows. And she was trying to understand, why are these things happening to you? And I found myself saying, you know what? I don't know. But I would like for God to go and do this to somebody else in the church and leave me alone. And she says, well, why would you say something like that? I said, well, that's how I feel. She said, well, who would you want God to go and do this to? And I said, well, I don't care as long as it's not happening to me again. You know, I feel like I'm walking down the road here with a target on my back. Yep, there goes Pete. Hit him. That's how my life was for a while. You know, I just wanted to just stay indoors and don't even come out. But God says, hey, count this as joy because, see, I'm working with you. I am preparing you. And, you know, when we are exercising our bodies physically to lose weight, you know, to gain muscle, to strengthen our bodies physically to move forward, when we have that opportunity to do that, isn't it sometimes painful? You know, I'm not going to Richard. Well, I wasn't going to mention Richard's name, but cat's out now. You know, we had a great time at a wedding feast. We were dancing. I looked at Richard. I looked at myself. I said, one of us is going to be in a lot of pain tomorrow morning. One of us is going to be in a lot of pain. We just lost our minds. We went back and thought we were in our 20s. And we were out on that dance floor trying to show, you know, somebody else up, you know, on the dance floor. And somebody else up on the dance floor trying to keep up with these people. I'm not going to mention their names. You know, we're trying to keep up with them. I just want to happily announce, hey, coach, I lost 4 pounds that night, by the way. I lost 4 pounds along with my mind. But you know what? It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. But I said the next morning, this is going to be painful. I'm going to pay for it. So I got up the next morning, felt great. And it was Wednesday. The pain came and visited with me. But you see, God says for you and for me, don't think these things to be strange that I'm putting you through. I am preparing you. You know, David sums it up in Psalms 40, verse 8, when he said, you know, Father, my desire is to do your will. Psalms 40, verse 8, just one little thought I want to pull out and remind us of it this moment. He says, my desire is to do your will. Is that our desire daily? Is our desire a reminder of our commitment to Jesus Christ at baptism to do the will of the Father? Is that our desire? I challenge each and every one of us to put that before us on a daily basis. No matter what is before you, no matter what you have to deal with, no matter what you're challenged with, the end result of this moment is that we say, my desire is to do your will. Because we made an agreement at baptism. So let thy will be done with me. Let thy will be done with me. James 1. James 1. Let's kind of pull out an understanding in James 1 in verse 2 as a reminder. Because we read these scriptures. I don't know how many times we have read these scriptures. But let's go and see if there's something we've missed over the years. James 1 in verse 2, he says, my brethren, again, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Here we go again. Now James is telling us this. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Remember? I shall not want. James is saying, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. What did God tell Jeremiah? What is my plan for you? My plan for you is to prosper you. My plan for you is to give you hope. My plan for you is to give you a future. So if this is God's plan for you and me, then let thy will be done in me. That's his plan. And so whatever we find ourselves engaged in that brings us down, two scriptures we just read, it says, rejoice. Count it all joy. Why? Because the attention is on us in order to prepare us for the next leg of our journey. You know, as Job went through the trials that he went through, it was a test. It was a difficult test. It was a hard test. But no, none the other, it was a test. And Job found himself challenging God and questioning God because that test kept getting harder and harder and harder. You know, as we advance in grade school, I'm listening to my grandkids now. Oh, school was fun. You know, when I was in kindergarten, school was fun. When I was in daycare, oh, now you're in school now where you've got to sit down, be still, and do some learning here. My little grandson, school's not fun anymore, Pappy. Why not? Because the teacher's not fun anymore. Why not? They make you do things. Well, doesn't your mom make you do things? Yeah, but I can say no to her. I said, oh, really? Hey, well, Pappy, don't tell her. He's a smart guy. He's a real smart guy. You know, he sobered up real quick. You know, well, school's not fun because it's getting harder. It's getting more challenging. And as we progress forward on this journey with Jesus Christ leading us and guiding us, you know what? It's going to get harder. It's going to get more difficult. And Jesus Christ is preparing you and me every step of the way for the things that are coming at us. He knows what's coming at us. Now, you want to know what's coming at us? Go back to the book of Revelations. Go back towards the back of the book. We see these things. He talks about these things. Are you prepared for these events to take place? Are you preparing ourselves to be able to move when God says to move? Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 2. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by his Holy Spirit in which he has given us. And when did he give us that Holy Spirit? When did we receive the gift of that Holy Spirit? Oh, it takes me back to my baptism. The laying on of hands. the prayer asking God to give us of his Holy Spirit. Tribulation produces perseverance. We have to learn how to persevere and not give up. Too many times, no matter what goes on within our lives, that opportunity, that thought that comes into our minds to give up, we're ready to do it. This is too hard. This is too difficult. I don't want to go through this again. I don't want to do this. And God knows that. He knows that. But what is he working out in you and me? He is strengthening our hearts and our minds, our limbs, our bodies. You know, we may feel like, my limbs don't feel too strong. But you know what? If you take your mind off of them for a moment, you'll be surprised at how strong they really are. You really will be surprised as to how strong they really are. But we focus on the aches and the pains. And we allow that just to slow us down and to discourage us. God is not leading us down the path so that we can be discouraged and broken down. But if we are, it gives him the opportunity, if we allow him, to pick us up, to lift us up. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, to calm down, to be at peace. He leads me beside the still waters. For what purpose? To restore. To restore. Sometimes we just have to stop and let the shepherd lead us into those green pastures so that we can be still, so that we can hear his voice, and so that we can know that he is God. And he is going to fulfill his plan and his purpose for you and me if we allow him to let us lay down for a moment and rest so that he can restore our soul. Jesus Christ understands that will of God. He has given us an example of how, on the journey that he took in human form, that he must continue to move forward and do his will. Matthew 26. Let's go and be reminded here. Tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. Produces hope. And it's done because of the love of God that's being poured out into our hearts by way of the Holy Spirit that he has given to us. God has given us what we need to move forward. All we have to do is pick the tools up and exercise the faith that he wants us to have in him in moving forward. And he says, without faith, it's impossible. It is totally impossible for you to please me, because what's going to happen is you're going to continue to doubt. You're going to give up. You're going to want to throw in the towel. I've got two men that work under me. Twice they have come and said, this is too difficult. This is too hard. You know, I don't want to do this anymore. I quit. God's not looking for quitters, and he did not choose us to be quitters. He called us to be on his team, to teach others, to learn and to grow and to understand what his perfect will is. He didn't call us because we were losers. He called us because he wants those that are going to be faithful to him and following him. As Christ says, my sheep, I know them. They know me. And they hear my voice, and they follow me. Matthew 26 and verse 39. Jesus Christ went a little further, and he fell on his face. And he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Christ knew what he was going to have to endure. He knew what the plan was. He and God, the Father, talked about what was going to take place. And he knew that the time had come. And he, in human form, was not ready to go through this. He says, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, even in the anguish and torment," he had to also conclude and say, "but not as I will, but as you will. But I'm going to ask. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to have to do this." You see, when I said that, he understood. And I know he understood because here he said it himself. "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But nevertheless, he knew what the plan was. He knew what he had to do. He says, "but not as I will," because the flesh is weak. He says, "but as you will." In verse 42, again, the second time, he went away and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, then your will be done. Then your will be done." I don't have the right to go to God and say, "Oh, Lord, no, I'm not accepting this. I'm not claiming this trial. Oh, no, you're going to take this back." No, what you and I have to do here in talking to God and letting him know, this is something very difficult. This is something very hard. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can really stand this. I don't know if I can take another hit like this. I need you not to let me go through this. But I know I committed myself to you. I know what I said. And I'm a man of my word. And just like Christ said, "but if this is your will, if this is your will, Father, if this is your will, then I will be done." So he left them. He went away. And he prayed the third time the same prayer. He prayed the same prayer. John 6. John 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them in verse 35 of John 6, he says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you don't believe. All that my Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast away. If you come to me, I will not cast you away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." I did not come here, he's telling you and me, to do my thing. I didn't come to do my thing. I came to do the will of him who sent me. When I'm given the opportunity to come before you, as your brother in Christ, as your friend, I don't come to stand before you to bring a message that I think, "Hey, you know what? This would be pretty cool. You know, let's talk about who won the basketball game last night. I kind of like to incorporate that in the scriptures and see how that plays out." No. I come to present what God wants presented. You see, Mr. Faulkner, when he starts selecting songs, didn't realize that God was orchestrating the music that he wanted Mr. Faulkner to lead, because each one of the songs that he led tied in to the message that we saw on the inner court and this message right here. It all is tied together. And who is the orchestrator? Jesus Christ. He says, I did not come down from heaven to do my own will. I came to do the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing. No one can come to Jesus Christ unless the Father who sent Jesus Christ draws that individual. We were all drawn to be where we are today. We were selected by God. We were chosen by Jesus Christ. And so therefore, we are here. And it is his will that he maintains and he keeps all that has been given to him. That includes you and me. And so if one sheep goes astray, yes, he's going to go after that one and leave the 99. We've seen that in the scriptures. That he loses nothing. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up in the last day. You see, he has to prepare us each leg of the journey. And on each leg of the journey, things are going to get a little bit more tough for you and for me. It's not going to be easy. But we have to keep moving forward. And we have to keep trusting, and we have to keep believing, and we have to keep exercising that faith, and we have to keep looking up to him, and we can't give up. He has invested in you and in me. He gave his life for you and for me. We can't turn back. We can't throw in the towel. His plan is to advance us forward. So, family of God, we have to rise up each day. And we have to rise up with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because we said that we accepted him. Do we still accept him in our lives today? Is he still dwelling within our hearts today? Are we doing the will of the Father? Are we on the bridge ready to jump, ready to give up because it's gotten too hard? It's too difficult. I'm old. What can I do? Oh, stick around. You'll be amazed. You'll be on the dance floor at 62 doing the electric slide while all the young people are sitting on the sideline thinking, wow, that's pretty cool. Teach me that dance. Yeah, learn it right now because I don't know if I can ever do this again. What is his will for you and for me? We will never know if we give up and throw in the towel. We will never know if we turn around and turn back. We will never know if we just stop and want to die where we are, because this leg of the journey is too difficult for me. He said, I will not burden you with anything that you cannot bear. I will not. But you know, that doesn't mean that we won't do that to ourselves. And sometimes we sabotage ourselves that way. We put on ourselves more than we can bear. And then we sometimes get it confused and mixed up and think, well, God did this. No, God didn't do this. You did that. Because God says, I won't do that to you. I will not do that to you. Romans 12, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world. You know, come out of this world. What is the will of the Father for me? Come out of this world. We cannot be inundated in all the things that are going on in the world, because our minds are tuned into what? What's going on out here? But family, what's going on from the Word of God to you and to me? What's going on with that conduit, that connection that we have with them by way of his Holy Spirit? What's going on here? Are we in tune? Or are we constantly being distracted by all the things that are going on around us that we're out of sync and we can't think right. We can't focus. You know, oh, I don't know what's going on. I'm about to just go nuts. We have allowed ourselves to become disconnected. We've allowed ourselves to become distracted. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is that will? He wants us to obey him. He wants us to continue to turn away from sin. He wants us to continue to follow Jesus Christ. He wants us to take what he has given to us and bear fruit. You see, on this leg of the journey where we are stopped and maybe stuck in a rut, maybe God is using you and me to plant a seed. Plant a seed. Plant a seed so as we move forward, someone coming behind us will benefit from that seed that has been planted. What is that seed? I have no idea. Because I don't know all the things that we're going through. But what you're going through, if you are able to advance forward beyond this, leave something behind so that as someone else comes up behind you, they will have the hope and the strength and the courage to keep going forward because you left them a note. You know, crazy thing, you know, my mother was always teaching me from the Bible. She didn't know how to, my aunt who raised me. My mom gave me away to her when I was born. But my aunt who raised me, that was my mother. This is all she knew. And she used this to raise me. And it's amazing when I go back and I look at her Bible and I see her notes. Then I begin to understand some things about her. I begin to understand why she was the way she was with me. And the guidance and the direction that she was giving me. And the notes dictate her concerns for me. You know, it's very humbling to know that a person loved you so much that you would go and you would pick up her Bible and you would see that she'd been talking about God in reference to you. It's very humbling. It's very humbling. What is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Mark 3 and verse 31. Mark 3 and verse 31. Then his brothers and his mothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him, Jesus Christ. And they said to him, look, your mother and your brothers, they're outside looking for you. Verse 33, he answered them saying, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he looked around in the circle of those who sat about him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, and my mother. God, I have said this to you all many times before, has blessed me with you. You are my family. You, I don't think twice about serving. I don't think twice about helping. I don't think twice about doing whatever needs to be done to be in service to my family. You are my family. God says, you who do the will of God. It's my brother. I'm looking at my brothers. My sister. I'm looking at my sisters. And if you're old enough to be my mother, then my mother. And I don't think anybody in this room is old enough to be my mom. So we'll leave that one out. Then again, I don't know. I didn't say it. I didn't say it. Okay. But he says, you are my family. You are my family. And I say this to you. You are my family. Because we, every day are working diligently to do the will of God. It's not easy. We strengthen each other. We encourage each other. We support each other. I see myself as a type of servant that's down in the ditch with my family. And as we look up, and we see as we look up the opportunity for us to get up out of that ditch, as long as God gives me the strength and the ability down here in this ditch to help my brother and sister up, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. I'll be down in the ditch encouraging you. You can do it. You can rise up. You can make it. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Don't look down. Keep going. Keep moving forward. How the song go? Onward, Christian soldiers. Marching on towards God's kingdom with the word of Jesus as a sword. Going forward, upward, onward. It didn't say anything about going backwards. It says onward, Christian soldiers. We're moving forward. And God is preparing each of us every step of the way. You don't have to turn to Ephesians 6. But he says, not to be men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. You do his will from your heart. Because within that heart is a desire. Blood that is beating and being transported from the heart to the brain throughout the body. Life. He says, do the will of God from that lifeline that I have given you. Use it. Use it to do my will. Let thy will, Father, be done with me. Let thy will be done with me. You know, the lady says, oh, you know, call the devil a liar. Oh, no. No, tell the devil he's a liar. Oh, I'm not accepting this. Jude 1 and verse 8. Don't turn there because you have to take a moment to go find it. But Jude 1 and verse 8 says, likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not to bring against the adversary revelings and accusations. But what did Michael say? The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. There are things that happen to us that God allows to happen to us. He allows these things to happen. And as we've learned to strengthen us in preparation for the next leg of our journey. And we have to be careful of what we begin to accuse Satan of. Jesus Christ understood, and he still understands, what it feels like at that moment when we feel like we've been forsaken. Mark 15 and verse 33 and verse 34. You don't have to turn there, because this is in the sixth hour that had come. There was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And in that ninth hour, Jesus cries out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, Jesus Christ was bearing the sins of all of mankind at that moment. And he had to be forsaken because he had to die. He had to die. Have you ever witnessed someone dying right in front of you? I have. I've had the unfortunate opportunity to stand before loved ones when the family didn't have the strength and the courage to say, turn the machine off. I had to do that. I had to do that two different times to throw that switch. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy at all. I had a family member that hated me for a very, very long time for doing that. But the loved one had already been declared dead for 2 days. They would not accept that reality. So the switch had to be turned off. A son-in-law, my daughter's husband, had to turn that switch off. It's not easy. It is not easy. Christ says in John 17, verse 4, don't turn there. He says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. His final words, as John records it. He says, I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And in James 1, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. We are moving forward to obtain a crown, not a crown that will perish, not a crown that will be destroyed. We are moving forward to receive that crown of life. But family, we can only do it by the will of God. And we every day must rise up and we must say, thy will be done. Your will be done. Let thy will be done in me.